Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of European football in Glasgow. Atletico Madrid are in town as Celtic look to get their first Champions League points on the board. Rangers are in Prague ahead of tomorrow's Europa League clash, but who will play left back with Borna Barisic out? Yilmaz not in the European squad and no sign of Dejan Sterling. And Aberdeen have a big European tie of their own against Pauk tomorrow as well. I'm Gordon Duncan. And joining me tonight, you have Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller. Midweeks don't get much busier than this, Kenny, do they?
Yeah, it's a massive week again. Another massive week in Europe for our teams. Obviously, all starting tonight with a real tough test for Celtic against Atletico Madrid. But one of these games at Celtic Park, if they've got any hope of having European football, they need to try and get something, because a few weeks back against Lazio, that was an absolute body blow to concede in the last minute of the game. And tomorrow night, obviously, with Rangers and Aberdeen in Europa Conference League and in Europa League action, it's a massive, massive night, and there's so much to play for as well, because I think particularly tomorrow night there are still real opportunities for both Rangers and Aberdeen to be looking at qualification.
And he's wearing the tracksuit with pride, back to winning ways. Queen of the South this weekend, but you're here on midweek Super Scoreboard duty, Marvin Bartley, and there is a lot going on.
There really is a lot going on, Gordon. There always is. But as Kenny said there, it's absolutely brilliant to see our teams, you know, flying a flag in European action. Obviously, starting tonight with Celtic, a huge game, one that their fans will always be confident going into, one that they want to be in terms of the Champions League. And, you know, you're going to see some of the best players in the world, and if not one of the best managers in the world as well, with Atletico Madrid, easy for me to say tonight. So, no, looking forward to it all.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, are you going along to the game tonight? What are you thinking? What are you expecting? Can this be the night that you get your first points on the board of the campaign? Or do you feel that same old story? You could almost write it now. Encouraging performance at times, missed opportunities, and then a bit of quality at the other end is your undoing. Is it going to be that familiar tale, or is tonight different? Why is tonight going to be different? 0141 951 1025. If you're getting ready for a nice night on the couch watching it, I'd love to hear from you. But you know the way it works. I also really like to hear from people who are on their way to the game, because we're jealous, quite frankly. We're stuck in here, so we like to share that big match build up with you. If you're out and about heading to the game, let us know what you are thinking. And Rangers fans, what about you tomorrow then? It's a really simple team lineup question for you. Who is going to play left back? Barisic didn't train today, he's injured. Yilmaz, for whatever reason, is not in the European squad. Dejan Sterling didn't train either. So who plays left back? Imagine the scenario. Philippe Clement is new to Rangers. He's busy. He's had his hands full, and he's going to tune in and ask if you can come up with the solution to who will play left back tomorrow. Why not let us know? 0141 951 1025. Maybe there are Aberdeen fans out there who want to look ahead to your big clash tomorrow as well, or something else entirely. It is the same number, 0141 951 1025, and you can tweet us all your thoughts as well at Clyde SSB. Whilst you do get your thoughts in, let's go to Celtic Park and set the scene with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. There is always that buzz when a top European side comes to town. Atletico Madrid certainly in that category as well. A manager of huge calibre, Diego Simeone, a strike force of Antoine Griezmann and Alvaro Morata. You know, what a huge task lies ahead for Celtic. It's not one that Brendan Rodgers thinks, you know, is going to be easy, and it's certainly one he knows they need to get something from as well. No points from the opening two group games means this one really is vital if they want a shot at European football after Christmas. Diego Simeone was speaking yesterday. He mentioned this being a historic stadium. He's looking forward to the atmosphere. It's the type of atmosphere that, you know, he thrives in as well. And despite, you know, the backing that Celtic get here on European nights, it really hasn't converted into victories in the Champions League. Their last home win in the group stages of the competition is 10 years ago, almost to the day as well. A 2-1 win over Ajax on the 22nd of October 2013. That's how far you have to go back. So will tonight be the night they can change that, or will the strength of Atletico Madrid be too much for them? There is no big fresh injury news for either team. Really, a couple of big players are missing for Atletico Madrid that have been out for the last few games. Jose Maria Jimenez, the central defender, Uruguayan international who plays a lot, but they do have some real quality in that area as well. Memphis Depay, he will miss this game as well, but as I mentioned earlier, Antoine Griezmann, Alvaro Morata, I don't think they'll be worrying too much in the final third tonight. As for Celtic, you don't imagine Brendan Rodgers will change too much from the weekend after that impressive performance at Tynecastle, but you never know, so I'll give you the team news when I get it.
Until such time, Celtic fans, you can tell us your team suggestions. 01419511025. Dare I say it, 25th of October, that great footballing cliche. We're early in the season, but does Celtic's team pick itself? I wonder if we've finally arrived at that point, or if there is going to be any debate about who should or shouldn't play tonight. You tell me. 01419511025. Of course, looking for you Rangers fans to do the same, particularly with the left-back dilemma ahead of tomorrow. Alan is a Celtic fan on the line. He's going to kick things off. Are you optimistic or not tonight, Alan?
I'm trying to be realistic about it.
That sigh said it all, Alan.
I listened last night and I just feel that some of the Celtic fans are basing their optimism on how well we've been doing domestically, and I have a real fear that the gap is too big when it comes to this level for Celtic. I think it's been kind of proven over the years, and even this year, we've done okay against Feyenoord. Obviously, two sending off didn't help. We did okay against Lazio, but we lost both those games, and I think who we're playing tonight is a real step up on that. You've got guys like Griezmann and Morata. I think the gap's huge, and I really hope I'm wrong, but I have a real concern that Celtic could get a wee bit of a sore one tonight.
Yeah, I understand what Alan's saying. I think playing at Celtic Park, though, I think that's where the optimism probably comes from. I think if it's an away tie, then it's totally different. But
is the recent record good enough, though, for that to bring about the optimism?
No, but it gives you your best possible chance, doesn't it? I think okay. You always have to be optimistic rather when you are Celtic playing at Celtic Park, but it's going to be tough. I definitely agree with him. I think it's a step up. I think Atletico Madrid are the best team on paper within that league, so I think Celtic are going to have to perform extremely well. I don't think they can be as open as they were against Hearts, although their performance was absolutely brilliant. I think, you know, Atletico Madrid will pick them off, and we normally see Atletico sit behind them, but I don't think they'll do that today. I think they'll come in and bring the game to Celtic, so they're going to have to defend well. But if they can get a repeat performance kind of like the Real Madrid one and just take the chances, then listen, that gives them the best possible chance, but they have to start well tonight.
And they're starting to build, like, domestically. Alan's right. Obviously, the domestic form is picking up. The performances are starting to look more like a Brendan Rodgers Celtic team. So there will be optimism there. Celtic Park, like you say, you're probably more looking back to the good old days when Celtic were in the Champions League, where they had that wonderful record where so many teams came and left with nothing. It's not been as good over the last few times in the Champions League, but it does provide you with your best opportunity. But again, I'm going to say same as what Marvin just says. They're playing Atletico Madrid. This is a superpower. It's a European superpower with one of the best managers in the world, with some of the best players in the world. They'll be coming here, though. They've experienced these intense atmospheres and on the continent and at home in their respective league. So it's going to be a big ask for Celtic to get anything. That's why I just felt, when I look back a few weeks back, that Lazio last minute goal was an absolute body blow home, because it was a real opportunity for points after taking the league. This is going to be a big double header. It's probably the worst double header you could have as a Atletico in the middle of this group.
Is that the frustration, Alan? Because I think undeniably Celtic are at their best in terms of this season. This is the best they've been this season. And they're getting there and they're getting better. But then you do just arrive against a really good opponent, and you're just wondering if that's enough, basically.
I think Kenny's right. I think the worst that we could have got in the group is to get Atletico home and away in the middle of the group. Obviously, the Lazio thing was disastrous. Losing, we shouldn't have lost the game, but we did. So having no points already and having them home and away next, I would be absolutely delighted if we were to get a point tonight. And I think if we were to have European football now, after this group's finished would be nothing short of remarkable. I think we'd need a lot of things to go our way otherwise. But I just feel that when, you know, and no disrespect to some of the teams that we play against in the Scottish League, but I think the gap's just too big. You know, Atletico Madrid are playing the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid and these teams week in and week out. And without being disrespectful to Dundee and Ross County and things, it's, we don't have to play at a level that they do every week. And I think to make that step on a Wednesday night is just huge. I hope we can do it. And I remain eternally optimistic, but I really hope we don't end up on a sore one tonight.
I obviously see the logic there, Alan. I do wonder, though, if Celtic need to get to the stage where in these one-off games, every now and then, they can give teams a bloody nose or get the results. I think you're right. You have to put Celtic in like a league set-up with Atletico Madrid. You're going to finish a good bit behind them, but we do see it a lot in Europe. You see big favourites, you know, struggling every now and then, and a so-called underdog giving one of the big boys a bloody nose. Why can't Celtic seem to even grind out results in Europe at the moment or nick something? It just always seems to end, even when it's been a good performance, you know, it never seems to get the favourable outcome.
I think as a, you know, the Lazio game was a great example of that. We could have won the game. We nearly won 2-1, but the goal was given off for VAR. And then just that one lack of concentration at the end, is that's where I think Celtic are let down. And they get away with that. You know, I think Celtic and Rangers in Europe don't get away with these things. You know, you just you lose concentration for 5 seconds against these guys and you're punished. And that's my worry tonight. If you lose concentration against Morata and Griezmann, they'll take advantage of that. If we score first, maybe we've got a wee chance, but then we've done that already. And I hate to sound terribly pessimistic because I'm trying not to be, but I think you need to be realistic when you're playing the likes of these guys with the quality and the standards of players that they've got.
I do get why Celtic fans would fear the worst, because even take it over 2 games this season and then the group stage campaign last season, even if you want to just take that without going over old ground too much, it feels like they can be perfectly in the games. You know, well, what's that really annoying phrase we always come back to when people say, we don't belong at Champions League level? The performances always look like they belong at Champions League level, but the results don't necessarily look that way.
Yeah, it's the moments, and we've talked about it so many times, that games are won and lost on taking your chances, on mistakes that get made, that get punished, that don't get punished. I mean, if you go back to the games last year, like you say, Celtic had some really, really strong moments in the big games. But I mean, you think of Real Madrid, that first half an hour, they were absolutely excellent. Probably should have been 1 or 2 up. Again, Callum McGregor at the post, I think it was Maeda, missed a decent chance. And then and the game's gone. You end up losing 3-0. So it's a really unforgiving level that you're playing it when you're playing against this level of opposition tonight. So if you don't take your moments, and I'm sure Celtic will get chances because they have played some good stuff against teams like Atletico Madrid and have created good opportunities, but if you just don't take them, I mean, I'd maybe go on the other side. They're due to take a few chances that they do create.
True.
I mean, the other side is Atletico are going to have moments as well. You know, so I think last year in particular, when you look at the way Celtic played, they did perform pretty well. But again, it ended up with 2 draws, probably not what their play deserved over the course of the 6 games.
I just saw a tweet today, and forgive me, I can't even remember who it was or what it was. It's just one of those that pops up on your feed. And it was some sort of Celtic fan along the lines of, can't even be bothered because I know what's going to happen. We're going to start well, miss chances, concede and then fall apart and lose the game. And it was like that, and that sums up Alan's call. I think it's kind of how they, certain Celtic fans certainly feel.
Yeah, and like Kenny said there, it's because of the level, and Alan said it as well. You know, domestically they probably can miss those chances, and they know they'll create 3-4 more chances, and you know, outside of probably Rangers, other teams going at the other end won't be that clinical. Whereas you go into the Champions League, it's a lot more difficult. And you know, we have seen Celtic have good spells in those games, but what needs to happen is when they're having maybe not so good a spell or a bad spell, they don't concede. You know, we saw them obviously lose the goal at the end to lose a game 2-1, which Alan was speaking about. And, you know, a lot of people would have been saying, put that ball into Rose Ed, but it's not the Celtic way. So we can't have it one way when we say we want to see, you know, our teams, what they do domestically, try and do it, you know, in a big European competition. But when they fail to do so, almost say, you know, they've fallen apart again. So it's kind of trying to find that kind of medium ground, really, the happy ground.
Is the frustration, Alan, though, it's come in like different shapes and sizes, hasn't it? You know, you mentioned the previous game, the late sucker punch, then the game before that, it's down to 9 men. You're clearly not going to get anything out of a European game down to 9 men. seems to have been like in a list of different ways of things going wrong in recent times.
I think it is gone, but you know, it just becomes, I hate to say it, but it's almost like it becomes a habit. And, you know, that call about not wanting to watch it because that's what happens, I think there's a lot of Celtic fans start to feel that way at this level in Europe. I think we do belong there because we've qualified, so we belong there.
Absolutely.
But I the gap between who we play on a Saturday and who we play on a Tuesday and a Wednesday in Champions League is absolutely huge. And I think we can compete to a real strong level, but I think the margins are so small. And when we make that one error, they score. And sometimes we don't score. And I think that's the difference.
Yeah, and I totally get both sides of it. I mean, the magnificent Pluck, what a name that is, has tweeted to say, let's be realistic. The financial gulf means Scottish teams have no place in the Champions League. Alan, I mean, they qualify, they have a place. Forget the odd show of bravado. These teams are too strong now. Fans would be just as happy playing and performing in the Europa League or Conference. Again, you totally get the logic, but surely in these one-off occasions, it's more than just the odd show of bravado. And again, I know it ends in defeat, but you look at last night, take Copenhagen for example. If we're talking financial gulf, Copenhagen, Man United, you know, if it wasn't for a last minute penalty miss, there are examples of teams that can get results. Why can't Celtic join that group?
I think the thing that makes it difficult for Celtic, like I said there, is the start. I think you see a lot of those teams like Copenhagen, you see them play domestically, they play a lot different to how they played at Old Trafford yesterday. You know, I don't think Celtic fans, and Alan can correct me if I'm wrong here, want to see Celtic try and park the bus and potentially get one or two opportunities or last minute penalty. They want to see Celtic go out and attack as well. So, you know, I don't think they want to go to Celtic Park and see, you know, Celtic have 10, 11 players behind the ball and think, you know, can we get something off a set play, or, you know, really late in the game, can we get an opportunity? They want to see Celtic attack also. And that's why it's probably even more difficult for the players and for the manager, because, you know, he needs to go out there and have that kind of attacking philosophy, but also try and pick up points against, you know, some of the best teams, or if not the best teams in Europe.
Because again, I just think both can be true at the same time, Kenny, even because the bar has changed. I don't think any Celtic fans are battering down these phones saying we should be qualifying for the next stage, but you're talking third place. Can we get third place? And see, if we can't, can we at least look like we might? Because if you don't, if it's 0 points by the end of tonight, you could be talking about even that being out of reach with the halfway point of the group. So it's about even just trying to come close, I suppose, would be a start.
That's exactly it. I mean, you go back to Rangers' campaign like last year, and the criticism that was thrown at them because they were miles away. And again, you've got to look at the level of opposition, an Ajax, a Napoli, and a Liverpool. You know, it was a tough group. You look at the Celtic group, it is a tough group. You know, particularly when I think the way the fixtures have went, when they've got Feyenoord and what happened in that game, you go down to 9 men, you're just not getting anything. An away tie down to 9 men in Europe, in the Champions League, you're not getting anything. You come away with a 2-0, and again, that first half, it was quite a level game. You know, and then you just get that sucker punch at the end of your first home game against a team that you beat home and away in the Europa League a few years ago. You know, so again, it's another game you think Celtic could get something out of this game against Lazio, but then you don't. And then you've got Atletico Madrid, who, like I said before, they're a European superpower. They have been for a number of years. Their manager's been at the club for a long, long time now. There's a real stability and continuity within that group, within that club. They'll be coming here and they will be looking. Again, I think Feyenoord have just went 1-0 up against Lazio as well. Mm. So they'll be wanting to top this group. So they'll be looking at maximum points in this doubleheader against Celtic, against Scottish opposition, where, like you say, the gulf in resources, finances, the quality, it's there for all we see. Doesn't mean to say Celtic can't compete and they won't, but there is a big gulf there and it's going to be a big ask.
Thank you to Alan. Darren is a Celtic fan. He is coming up next.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with: thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, Caps has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at Caps guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Darren in Cumbernauld is going to join Kenny Miller and Marvin Bartley on the phone. What are you thinking tonight, Darren?
Hiya, first time caller. I've listened to you quite often while doing up my uni work, actually, on the podcast.
If you fail, don't blame us, right? We are not to be listened to.
Oh, no. Just a bit of background noise, but I still enjoy it. It's quite entertaining.
We've been called worse.
So my point is that I'm thinking that Celtic could get a win tonight. Obviously, this would be the first time since Ajax in 2013, Neil in his first year as Celtic manager. And I feel like Callum McGregor is one of the most crucial players to be in that team to be the winner for tonight. And especially I feel Kyogo should be stepping up as well. I know he's done it in the league. I know he's done it in the cup for several years. But I also feel that for him to cement his status as a Celtic legend, I'd say it has to do it on the big nights.
You could make a case to say a game like tonight, they're pretty much all going to have to be at it. But that's two obviously very important names that Darren's pulled out.
By the way, potentially two of the, in fact, the two most important players that Celtic have got. You've got your main goal threat and your goal scorer, and you've got your captain and your leader and the heartbeat of your team. The driving force, everything that's good at that in that Celtic team, controls the game. Again, how much control he'll have tonight, I think when you do have the ball, I think it is important that he is right on his game. Which, by the way, 9 games out of 10, 99 games out of 100, he is. You know, so it's, I mean, you're expecting at least an 8 out of 10 out of a Callum McGregor performance tonight. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, I do agree with Darren as well that in these big moments when the chance is dropping, that ball's in it with the box. Yep, these are the games that you're going to, that you can take your game or you can elevate your profile to another level. You know, it's fine doing it in the domestic game, and he has done, and he's done it very, very well.
It's what did for Dembele, wasn't it, when you look back?
Yeah, he's done again. He's done it. His goals in the Champions League, his goals in Old Firm that Kyogo has done as well. Yep. He's just not reached that quite height. And by the way, I don't think Celtic have with the performances, but it's not just been Kyogo, it's been a letdown. There's been a lot of people kind of who have fell foul to missing big opportunities in these games. But Kyogo's your main guy. You know, he's the main man. You've highlighted your captain, you've highlighted your main goal scorer. Tonight is a night when the chances drop, he's going to need to take them, because this Atletico Madrid team will be ruthless when they get their chances, that's for sure.
The reason I said, Marvin, that it has to be a bit of everything is because you just look back to the Lazio game, sorry to keep going on about it, but last season the theme was all about not taking chances, and that, you know, is Kyogo going to step up in the Champions League? Lazio come to Glasgow, it takes them 12 minutes. It's a great goal. Celtic score, and you think, oh, maybe this is different. Taking a chance. And Kyogo's found his groove in the Champions League. But there are so many parts to that jigsaw that then have to stay together. And that didn't happen on that night.
No, it didn't happen on that night. And I think you're right. For Celtic to win tonight, for me, I think Celtic have to be at their best, and they need to hope Atletico Madrid aren't at their best. Because if those two teams come together tonight at Celtic Park, both at their best, Atletico win. It's kind of how Celtic are when you play them domestically. You need them to be off their game, three or four of them to be off their game. You need to be at your best. You know, roles are reversed today for Celtic in the Champions League, and that's what's going to make it, for me, a real tough one to win. I think they can definitely get something out of the game. I think, obviously, a positive performance first and foremost, and then a point would be absolutely brilliant. But for Celtic to win, Atletico need to be off their game, and Celtic need to be performing a couple of eights, but then it's 9 and 10s out of 10s tonight, which they are capable of doing. You know, they're top players. They're going to have to be their best, and their best that they've performed this season, definitely.
Darren, does the team pretty much pick itself at the moment? Is there anyone that you think, you know, makes a surprise run to get the nod tonight?
I would say that the team pretty much picks itself. Like, you've got Matt O'Reilly, who's been playing up a bit further up the pitch like a cam roll, and he's been playing outstanding. Like, from the game against Hearts, but end of the day, no disrespect to Hearts, but this is Atletico Madrid, one of the best teams in the world. I mean, don't get me wrong, they can be a bit dirty, but end of the day, you need to think this is a quality that we need. So players like Luis Palma, with Leo Labada being injured, he's been doing really well, and if that goal stood against Lazio, I think that would have brought high confidence, which I believe, at the end of the day, it's still going to give him the opportunity, because he did score, but it was unfortunately ruled out.
Yeah, Darren mentioned obviously Kyogo and Callum McGregor. He then, I think he's excellent at picking out the key, because the one that I would have moved on to anyway, Matt O'Reilly's head and shoulders the best player in the country probably this season. Is that fair?
Yeah, listen, I think because he's added goals to his game now, I mean, as a is, if you want to call him an eight, he needs to add more goals. You know, if again, particularly in Celtic's team, you know, if you're playing and you're playing every single week, which it is, and you've got this license to get forward, I just see that. Like, I think the timing again, it was really shown in the weekend against Hearts. Not only the finish, but the timing of the run, the actual willingness to run beyond the striker, see the gap in the Hearts' defence and actually just go for it. And then you've obviously got the ability for Palma to pick him out, and the finish was just sensational. But he's added, I think that's six league goals that he's got this season already in nine games. You know, he's on for a 15-goal season. You know, again, I think I was reading in the press over the weekend, he could be the next one to go. You know, he could be the next one to find his. I know Celtic fans will know, thank me for saying this, but if he goes and gets 12, 13, 15 goals this season, I think the end of the season he moves on. And what it'll do is, it'll be another big chunky change coming into the Celtic coffers, because it'll be 12, 15 million pounds from that.
Yeah, already, no doubt about it. It was 10 million from Leeds in the summer, wasn't it? Marvin, he got 4 goals in 52 games last season. He's already at 6 and 12 across all competitions, so it's quite the uplift.
Yeah, the Brendan Rodgers effect, maybe. Listen, he's been fantastic. I know last season he wasn't too happy coming off, you know, early on in games, and, you know, he's been given a lot more minutes this season in terms of, you know, playing and completing 90 minutes. But for me, he's been brilliant. As Kenny said there, you know, I think he can hit 15 goals, definitely. And, you know, probably will mean that there'll be people coming and bidding for him, and Celtic will get a massive chunk of change. But also, it will mean that the club's been successful again. You know, if he hits 15 goals, you expect Celtic to win the league and, you know, potentially win a cup alongside it. So yeah, Matt O'Riley for me is definitely a key player. I think Callum McGregor for the last couple of years has been head and shoulders above the rest of the midfielders, although I know Hatate's been in there as well. But when you combine those three together now, Celtic have a real, real strong, you know, pairing or kind of short trio in there. And I expect them to perform well today. I'm really interested to see how they perform just in that midfield area, in that midfield battle, how well they can do against Atletico Madrid, because if they perform, Celtic have got a big, big chance.
Martin thinks the team picks itself. Do you agree? Is there any possible left field inclusion that you can imagine?
No, for me at this moment, no. I just think that I think the back four is solid now. The midfield three, as Marvin says, it's as good as... I mean, it is on paper as good as anybody. Again, it'll be a real test when you go up the levels, but these guys are capable. I mean, the fact that we're actually saying O'Reilly's head and shoulders above Callum McGregor, it just shows the levels that this guy is playing at every single week, you know. And Hatate, again, you've now seen over the last kind of 2 or 3 weeks, you've seen him back to his best as well. So, and Kyogo picks himself, Maeda, particularly on nights like this, you need his pace, you need his energy, you need his work ethic. He'll be playing, and I think Palmer's nailed this slot on the right side. He's made it his own, on the left side, sorry, on his own, if they flip over. But he's really nailed that slot on Abada's absence. Again, you've got James Forrest, who has kind of been in and out over the last kind of few weeks. You've got David Turnbull, who started the season. They've got a decent enough squad, but for me, the starting 11 will be the same starting 11.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it picks itself. I think, you know, the performance that we saw from them against Hearts, and, you know, how those players have been performing individually and now collectively, I think that's the Celtic team that starts tonight's game.
We'll find out very soon, of course. Thank you to Darren on Twitter. Andy Boy says, the reason we don't see out games or grind out results, it's the same reason every year. We don't bolster the defence from a position of strength. Carter Vickers injured in Scales, a guy who had a no bad season at Aberdeen. We've had two very winnable games and lost both. I suppose maybe Brendan Rodgers would say, well, I tried to strengthen the defence in Lager, Bielka and Navrotsky.
But they got Phillips as well.
They both got injured. So there we go. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? Here is what he had to say on tonight's challenge.
Now, you know, if you look at the front two players, you know, Griezmann and Morata, they're outstanding talents. Two different players, but both winners and know what it takes at the very highest level. And then you've got other players in behind that, they're experienced. So this is a team that knows their way around Europe and European football because of the quality and the experience that they have. So we know it's a big challenge. That they're a team that's fighting for the Spanish title. But for us, we just have to go and play our game and look to be brave and play with that courage that we've been playing with, and let's see if we can pose them some problems. That's why you play as a player. You want these games. That's why the players worked so hard last season to get to this level. And when you're here, you want to be able to go and be competitive.
Let's bring in Martin in the Gorbals. How do you think Celtic's chances look tonight, Martin?
Hi, guys. I'm thinking a draw, really, Gordon. I'm thinking that's our best hope, is a point for tonight. You know, and I think for that, the Celtic defence need to be really, really strong. I think Cameron Carter-Vickers is a must in that centre of that defence. And I think Liam Scales beside him, who's kind of no-nonsense style, is going to be needed tonight. He's really surprised everybody with his kind of form this season, both in Europe and in Scotland as well.
It's a funny one. It feels like, you know, say over it, so presumably Madrid is harder than Glasgow. That's kind of the way it works. If Celtic were to come away with 1 point out of those two games and be on 1 point after four matches, it wouldn't be an entirely encouraging position. But is Martin right? When you would generally, I know everyone's different with Celtic, take a point tonight, as that phrase goes?
Yeah, I think so. I think Martin's right, and I'm in total agreement with him. I think Celtic will take a point from tonight's game and then, you know, move on to obviously going across to Madrid. You know, Atletico Madrid, let's make no mistake about it, they are a top team, and Brendan said it there, they're a team that's going for the Spanish, you know, league title. You know, so they are big hitters. So I think taking a point tonight is definitely what they would accept. I think Brendan would take that now if you offered it to him. But, you know, you have to go out there and kind of earn that point. But I don't think it would be the worst result. I think it would actually be a good result and a positive result for Celtic if they can get a point.
I mean, Kenny, use whatever sort of indicator you want to do individually, like Brendan Rodgers just did, Morata, Griezmann, that only tells part of the story. You want to use their league results from this season. They've beaten Real Madrid 3-1. They've racked up 7-0 wins in La Liga. They just beat Celta Vigo away 3-0 at the weekend, albeit Celta Vigo went down to 10 men early on, or use their start to the Champions League. You know, it's 4 points from the two games, so it's like it's struggling to see
the weakness.
I saw someone mention like they're on a bit of a winless run away in the Champions League, apparently. So there you go.
Well, you've found some positivity in an incredible runny form, both at home and abroad. They're again, Atletico Madrid have been kind of renowned to be this hard to beat team that kind of defend really, really well. And I think somebody's used dirty, I would use aggressive. I would use very, very aggressive in defending and in the duels, and they'll look after each other. Again, they're a real representation of their manager. They're scoring goals for fun. You know, they're scoring a lot of goals. They've got the best goal difference in the league ahead of Real Madrid and Barcelona.
When their game in hand, they are top of the Liga. It's that level, isn't it?
So when you're talking about like resources and going against, there's no doubt Barcelona and Real Madrid are the biggest clubs, probably with the biggest resources. But Atletico Madrid are going against them. They're going against them every single year, and they're going with the mentality that they want to win the league and they want to go be better than those teams. So it's going to be a big ask for Celtic. Would they take a point? Absolutely, I think they would. What would that really mean? It would probably mean really, really tough to have European football after Christmas. That Lazio game would be crucial in a few weeks' time.
Feyenoord are 2-0 up on Lazio. Getting ahead of yourself is never good in this business. But if you try it anyway, you know, if it is a point tonight, if that stays that way, you're looking at Celtic certainly going to have to go to Rome and win.
Yep.
If we're talking about European football after Christmas. You know, they'd need to do that, you would imagine. Beat Feyenoord in the home game.
As simple as that, then you've got Europa League after Christmas. But you know, when you look at this group, it's not the hardest group in the world.
Well, I take
it's
that
not
back. Sorry. You could afford a draw in Rome, beat Feyenoord,
if the other results
and hope Lazio don't pick up anything else.
Like it's not the hardest group.
I've got a sore head thinking about it.
It's far from the group of death, right? Because they've got Feyenoord, a team that you think, right, okay, home and away, I think you could, if you got them in a knockout game, home and away, you would think, we've got a real chance here. You know, that's what would Celtic would think.
And yet they're actually in really good form this season.
They're in great form, you know, and again, they're actually just highlighting that, and they're backing it up tonight with a 2-0 win as it stands against Lazio. Again, Lazio, a team that was beat home and away a few years back in the Europa League. I know we're 3-4 years down the line now, but that's your kind of nearest memory of playing that team. So you're thinking that you could be competitive. Now, after the first two results, it's going to be super tough. You're playing the biggest team, the best team, right in the middle on the double header, and you need to pick something up. You need to pick something up if you've got any hope of being there. Because what it does, if you do lose the two games, it'll mean Lazio can get a draw away from home and keep you at bay. If they win, that's it done. And by the way, at that point as well, you're now going to be looking at maybe getting no points over the course of a group. So absolutely, to go back to, I think it was, go back to Martin's point, you would absolutely take a point tonight.
Martin, where do you get the confidence from?
I don't know what confidence. I think it's more optimism than confidence. I'm hoping, you know, for a point tonight. You know, the Atletico are a very, very strong team. I mean, Celtic, as Brendan Rodgers said, they've stepped up a level with Lazio and Feyenoord, and we're stepping up a level again tonight against Atletico Madrid. You know, as Kenny has said, you know, they're nearing top of La Liga, so. And you don't get there without being a fantastic team. And week in, week out, they're playing teams like Real Madrid. You know, whether we're playing Hearts, Hibs, Kilmarnock, you know, and teams like that. I was going to say Rangers there, but that would just be a wee bit. having a wee dig, so I'll leave that one out. But you class Rangers as good. Rangers are the only team that's in Scotland that are challenging Celtic, really. Nobody else is going to go on them.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting night. Team news will be coming next, so we'll bring you that. Don't go anywhere. You'll want to hear straight away who's playing, I'm sure. Let me run this past you first, though. Finally. That might be the emotion that comes at Celtic Park if Celtic get a win tonight. But in reference to make me a winner, it felt like it was never-ending run of rollovers. It has come to an end, and Carol is £135,000 richer. As a result, she's going to move house, she's going to buy a caravan, the whole lot. We could make you a winner of £140,000 tomorrow when we make another call. But you need to be in the draw, so text YES to 61025. £2 to text plus your standard network rate. Online entries at Clyde1.com are £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. All the rules for this network competition are online, but you do need to be over 18. If you get the call from us after 3pm tomorrow, Thursday the 26th of October, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £140,000. Text YES to 61025.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here. It's 141 951 1025, and Celtic fans, this is the team that will take on Atletico Madrid tonight. Andrew McLean, take it away.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers deciding to go unchanged from that impressive win at Tynecastle at the weekend. So it'll be Joe Hart continuing in goal. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate. And it means that the front three is Daizen Maeda, Lewis Palmer, who keeps his place as well, and Kyogo leading the line at Celtic Park. The substitutes being Morrison, Lagerbielka, Phillips, Yang, Turnbull, Iwata, Bernardo, Forrest, Ralston and Mikey Johnson. Still no Atletico Madrid team, but I will get that to you as soon as I have it.
I always like to make a bit of a competition out of predicting the team. It's just the easiest one ever, wasn't
Nailed
it?
Nailed it.
So what's that? Well, let's overanalyze that scenario then. Is that because these players are all absolute standouts? Is it because, although Celtic have depth up to a point, there's none of the backup cast really pushing that yet? Why is that team so easy to predict at the moment?
I think,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No, I just think it's their performances are just growing and growing as each week kind of passes. And it's only been the last, couple of games where they've had everybody, particularly in the back line, everybody back available to actually play. So for me, as it stands now, for everybody's fit, that Celtic's strongest team, they're playing the best team, one of the best teams in Europe. You need your best team, you need your strongest team on the field. So that's it's pretty straightforward for me. And I think it was a really strong performance at the weekend. Yes, against completely different level of opposition, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And they beat Hearts really, really well.
Yeah, I think that's a key point, what Kenny said there, the performance against Hearts. And, you know, that made Brendan's mind up. You know, if he's going to change things tactically today, then maybe change the personnel. But clearly they're going to go with kind of, you know, the same attack and trying to press high up the pitch, etc. So, you know, those players picked themselves for me. I don't think anyone would have changed them, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, in the wide areas, it would maybe be, I don't know, as recently as a fortnight ago, there probably was a bit of debate about, is it Palma? Is it Yang? Is it even Forrest? I guess Jota vacated big boots to fill. But yeah, in the last couple of weeks, has it become pretty clear it's Lewis Palma?
Yeah, because I think he's added... Listen, he's not got the real pace. I mean, he's quick enough, but I think his technique, his ability to kind of drop inside and pick a pass like he did for O'Reilly at the weekend, he scored goals as well. So he's adding that kind of end product to his game, whether it be assisting, whether it be linking up with the forward players or the midfielders, because the way Celtic kind of rotate and the way they play between their fullback, their winger and the eight that's on that side, and even Callum McGregor, to be honest with you, is really, really impressive. And he seems to just kind of be fitting in now that he has made this slot his own. And it's I would have been very surprised had he threw someone else into that off the back of a really strong performance at the weekend.
Yeah, it's composure in kind of the final third, because I think when you play for Celtic, you're going to get the ball in the wide areas because they dominate possession. It's what you do with it, as Kenny's saying there, once you are there. And, you know, he's picking out passes and, he's probably putting crosses into the box as well that people can potentially get on the end of. So I think Brendan will be, delighted with kind of his contribution so far. Obviously, a really young man. He's got to step it up again today because it's against tougher opposition. But, I think him finding Celtic players when he's in that final third means that he had to start today because, again, like everybody else, he warrants that start.
It's just like almost the opposite to Dyes and Maida, I guess. What you're looking for one to do, or what one's kind of shortcomings are, probably the other one does, if you like. Maida will give you all the running. He's electric. Maybe Palma's not got that electric pace, but Palma seems to have a lot more kind of craft and creativity that sometimes Dyes and Maida lacks. Is that fair?
I think that, you're bang on. Yeah, there's no way Dyes and Maida gets left out of the Celtic team at this moment, particularly in a game like this where there is going to be a lot of time chasing, there is going to be a lot of work that needs to be done against the ball, and there might not be a better player in the country actually doing that type of work. By the way, at a high intensity, when he puts people under pressure, he's putting them under pressure at full pace. That limits the time for the decision to make. It rushes things. That's why domestically it is such a weapon to have when he goes and puts people under pressure, because again, at the low level of a player in opposition, there's going to be quicker turnovers. There's going to be opportunities to win the ball higher up. Will we see that tonight with this level? Again, I don't know. But listen, when you're going with his type of aggression and pressing players, it puts people under real pressure that can spook them sometimes, So there's no way he wasn't going to play. And like you say, there is a little bit of contrast there with a calmness, with a bit of technique, with a bit of vision and guile to the raw pace and power and energy that Dyes and Maida's got on the other side.
Yeah, he's a manager's dream for me, as Kenny's saying there. I think when you are playing in these massive games, he almost gives you an extra player because the work rate that he does put in and the pressing. And listen, he can go past people as well, and his willingness to run when he doesn't have the ball, you can't really understand how important that is until you take a player like that out of the game, because him running forward will create space for somebody else. But he puts in so much for the team, and having the balance of those two wings I think works really, really well for Celtic.
What are they up against tonight though, Andrew McLean?
Yeah, pretty tough opposition. Diego Simeone has named his starting 11 for this game tonight. Jan Oblak will be the goalkeeper. The back three, Stefan Savic, Axel Witsel and Mario Hermoso. The two wing-backs will be Nahuel Molina and Javier Galan. The three central midfielders, Sal Niguez, Koke, who is the captain, Spanish international, and Rodrigo De Paul, who played a key part really for Argentina in their run to the World Cup final and eventually winning the World Cup last year. And then the front two that so many people have talked about in the lead up to this game, Antoine Griezmann and Alvaro Morata. Some options off the bench with players that people would know as well, Cesar Azpilicueta, who of course used to play his football at Chelsea. Maybe more interestingly as well, Kyler Soyuncu, who was the former Leicester City central defender who played a lot under Brendan Rodgers when he was the manager there. Angel Correa, Marcus Llorente, another two full internationals. So plenty of options for Simeone off the bench and some top talent in that starting 11 as well.
It's always when you hear the team that you check back on some of your optimism, isn't it? You always do it. And that's not to say that it's the right thing to do, but it just always has that moment where you go, that's why it's perceived as being so tough. How many World Cup winners was that? Certainly Griezmann and De Paul,
yeah.
Is Morata a bit young for that?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think he is. But,
It's going to be some game, isn't it? And we've spoken about how good Celtic are and, that midfield three, that the trio that they have in there. And then you hear it, Atletico Madrid's, midfield three as well. It's going to be a real, real battle in there. And one that I'm sure the Celtic players are really looking forward to, because they want to test themselves against the best, and they're going up against, some really good players in there. But I think that will be the key battle on the pitch today. I think that midfield area, whoever can kind of wrestle control of the ball and get in control of that, you know, give their team a massive, massive chance of winning this game tonight.
I should point out, I don't mean Morata is young. I mean, in terms of having won the World Cup with Spain, but littered, as the phrase goes, Kenny Miller, with top players.
And you're talking about the control in the midfield there. They've actually put a midfielder back at them. In the middle of the
he's been playing there a bit.
I think his legs are going. What happens to us all, Kenny?
Go on then, is that the hope? Can he keep up with Kyogo?
If you can get the ball off him and he gives it away anywhere, because he's such a, I mean, he's played at the top level for a number of years. If he is getting, the legs are gone a little bit, I'll tell you, his brain will still be working. He'll be ahead of the game.
Right, Molina played for Argentina. He won the World Cup with Argentina as well. So
just another one.
All it does is just add to the thought
that it's going to be a tough night for Celtic.
Or an even better achievement if Celtic get something. There you go. That's the positive spin to end the first hour. Let's hope it's not a positive night on this for the pundits.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it is Beat the Pundit time. I'm feeling much better about things. We got a win for the listeners last night. That's when things start to really feel better about this competition. I like it when these guys get their own way. So I think Simon Donnelly lost out last night. Let's make it two in a row. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a big night. A big couple of nights actually in European competition for Scottish clubs. We have given you quite an extensive preview of Celtic against Atletico Madrid. We've given you the team news. We've spoken about Celtic's chances, Atletico's threats. If there's anything else you want to add, please do pick up that phone. This might be the perfect chance to switch focus to Rangers tomorrow. Rangers fans, I've got a really simple, straightforward question. Not to say you can't make your own point on the game, but who plays at left back? Borna Barisic is injured, didn't train today. Yilmaz, for some reason, is not in the European squad. And Dujon Sterling didn't train today either. Who plays left back? Let us know right now, and we'll speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Loved it last night, Simon Donnelly, your old sparring partner on a Wednesday.
I was buzzing, he lost.
Did you hear him?
No. What happened to the team spirit?
Teammate, this guy is.
No, I was buzzing when he lost.
The guy who played was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, to be fair, he was.
You could kind of tell. And there we go. So I mean, we've got stats and all sorts. You know, the producers are bang at it here, Marvin. It's been a while since you played. You've not played since mid August.
Yeah, I know.
You got a double safety caught you.
I've been extremely lucky, by the way. Then I got a few of my own defeats in real life, so I wasn't.
I was going to say, Ori's not been here since mid August. Somebody check back when Queen of the South started losing games, so we can establish when Marvin was last here. Anyway, Kenny, you played quite recently, 9th of October, and won 6-2, apparently. So there we go. Craig's in Drumchapel tonight. How's it going, Craig?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you? Yeah, good. The panel?
Good. First time? Good. First time on Beat the Pundit?
Yeah, first time.
Marvin's got to be the worst out of these two, surely.
Yeah, I'm hoping I get Marvin. No offence, but
that's all right, buddy.
I love that. No offence.
Well, it is offensive.
It's quite officially offensive, right? Anyway, heads it will be Kenny Miller, tails it's Marvin Bartley.
Heads.
His tails. There we go.
I'm normally tails as well. I'm normally tails.
Oh man.
Right, so you
got the best Marvin.
You got your wish, Craig.
Yep.
Good luck, Craig.
Craig, don't live to regret this, because he will rub it in like nobody's business.
I'm a changed man.
He's a big child. Right, anyway, let's give Marvin some greatest hits radio to listen to. And we'll get the clock ready, Craig. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, your time starts now. In what year did Celtic last play Atletico Madrid?
2009.
Who was the last non-Scottish manager of St Johnstone?
Pass.
Who's the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Kyogo.
Michael McIndoe was appointed manager of what club last week?
Pass.
The North Stand at Ibrox is named after which former Rangers player?
Wilshere.
What player did Dundee currently have on loan from Liverpool?
Pass.
Let's bring in Marvin. Can you hear us? Can you hear us now?
Yep.
Can you put your phone
on? That was decent music, by the way. Barcelona 2-1 now.
I thought it was the name of the song. That was the quickest ever move from one thought to the other.
The music just came across there. It just came across.
So the music was decent.
It was.
And Barcelona are winning 2-1. Yeah. Right, okay.
Were you enjoying the music, Kenny?
That was lovely.
What was it?
Don't know.
I don't want to sing it, but I know.
Go on.
It's off a chocolate advert.
If it was Hugh Keevans, he would say.
Oh, he'd give it a go, wouldn't he? Right. Are you ready? Don't mess this up.
Was he good?
Starts brilliant. Your time, man. He was actually really good. Your time starts now. In what year did Celtic last play Atletico Madrid?
2012.
Who was the last non-Scottish manager of St Johnstone?
Tommy Wright.
Which player is currently the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Matt O'Reilly.
Michael McIndoe was appointed manager of which club last week?
Edinburgh City.
The North Stand at Ibrox is named after which former Rangers player?
Pass.
Who did Dundee currently have on loan from Liverpool?
Pass.
Which two Premiership sides have Colt teams in the Lowland League?
Hearts and Celtic.
Craig, what's the verdict?
I think you've done me there, haven't
you? You better hope not, Craig.
Celtic last played Atletico Madrid 2011. None of you got
good
it
guess.
Right.
Oh, that was
good. Those questions are tough. I mean,
I had no idea. You could be,
anyway, I'd never get those right. Who was the last non-Scottish manager of St Johnstone? Tommy Wright, 1-0, Marvin Bartley. The top scorer in the Premiership, Craig, I mean, a good guess in a sense would be Kyogo, but it is Matt O'Reilly. It's 2-0 to Marvin. Lowland League, lower league expert was bound to get Michael McIndoe as Edinburgh
Craig
City.
Got that though.
3-0, Marvin.
Craig. Stretching
on I wouldn't bother. The North Stand, Craig, is named after Sandy Jardine.
Who
did you say, Craig?
Bilstruth. We're in trouble here.
Still 3-0, Craig, if you're not keeping track.
You're not as across everything as I thought you would be. Dundee's Liverpool loanee. I've got this obsession. It's weird that I mention it almost every night because I've got bad eyesight. So see, he just looks like Andy Robertson. He like moves the same. He looks like, you remember when Andy Robertson was at United and he was young and he had like kind of the shaggier hair and he just runs the same. Anyway, his name's Owen Beck.
Is he as good?
Yep.
He is good, you know. I mean, he's not. What, you want me to sit here and say he's as good as Champions League winning?
No,
Andy
but
Robertson.
When he was at Dundee United,
he's good. 3-0. The Colt teams in the Lowland League, remember, Rangers pulled out, so it's Hearts and Celtic, which means it's 4-0 win, Craig.
Oh, I wish you'd have a phone now.
Well, I've enjoyed talking to you, Craig.
At least he's honest. Craig, do you know what? That's the thing. It's all we've enjoyed your company. What are you thinking about Rangers' chances tomorrow?
No.
He's rocked. He's absolutely rocked. Now.
Craig, you're just shell shocked at that. You know, any chance? Oh, he's got. He's actually hung up. Genuinely, he's gone.
He's rocked. Anyway, he's all over the place.
No, I feel bad now.
Yeah. Nah, I don't.
See, that's the difference between you and I. I'm nice. I think about other people's feelings. He genuinely, he's hung. I wish I never phoned, and he's hung up before.
What are you thinking? 4-0 to me. That is bad.
Because you lost 2-0 before, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. First game of the season.
I think
season.
You and
first
Martin Wilson the are the only pundits to lose 2-0 this season.
But I've just won 2-0 that.
I was about to genuinely wanted to ask him who should play left back for Rangers.
He's just saying
and he's just hung up. He would have passed that as well.
Yeah, he was done.
He was reeling after that. It was a poor performance. He wasn't happy.
He'd have probably beaten Simon on the tiebreaker, to be honest. But oh well,
nightmare. Oh, I'm gutted. Anyway, 01419511025. Anyone want to substitute in for Craig quickly and tell me who you think should play left back for Rangers tomorrow? That would be. Lovely. So there we go. Any more goals in the Champions League early games, I'll tell you about if they've got any extra significance. Is it still 2-0 in Celtic's group? Last I checked it was. I'll have a look in a minute.
Marv just had his phone out there because it said Marv against Craig 4-0.
I'm going to watch that back in the screenshot.
There we go. Right, I think we can. I hope we can anyway. We will very soon. Can we go to Prague and speak to Gabriel? I believe we can. Take it away.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards European coverage with Trusteed Scotland. For life after debt, visit trusteedscotland.net.
Thanks, Gordon, and good evening from the EPET Arena here in the Czech capital. I've just spoken to manager Philippe Clement and midfielder Todd Cantwell ahead of tomorrow's crucial game in the Europa League against Sparta Prague. Now, big talking points in terms of team news. Rangers have travelled here without a first-team left-back. Borna Barisic picked up an injury at the weekend, whilst Dujon Sterling is also missing. Ridvan Yilmaz would be the obvious replacement, but he was not selected for the European squad by former manager Michael Beale. Clement says that decision at leaving out Yilmaz is in the past. He doesn't want to dwell on it. It looks like it'll either be Ben Davies or perhaps Adam Devine at left-back, but he doesn't want any excuses and says someone in the squad will step up.
I'm not a coach who likes to make continue making circles when there's a problem. I look for solutions, so it will be another player who will not play in his normal position to fill that position and do the job for the team. So we need to find solutions.
It's an obvious talking point, Kenny. Like we said, on one hand, the Rangers team, the Celtic team picked itself. On the other, you've got this glaring debate here as to who plays left back. What do you make of that situation Rangers have found themselves in?
No ideal. I think the fact that Sterling's been missing again through injury or illness or whatever it is that he's missing for, Yilmaz not being in the squad, and obviously Barisic picking up an injury, it does leave a big gap on that left side of the defence. Like it could be that Ben Davies would maybe have to play left back. It would maybe mean young Adam Devine would maybe need to, again, he's naturally right back, but again, it would be a simple task for him to move across to the left, or it could mean a change of shape. You know, it could mean Ben Davies coming in playing left centre back and Rangers going to this back three that Michael talked about a lot. Ooh. over the course of the
it's an interesting
end of the
shoot.
Season. Well, listen, I think it's, he never gave too much away, Philippe Clement there. He's saying someone's going to be playing in a different position, so that could maybe mean someone's having to play left wing back rather than actually somebody play left back. If
a small point, but would Michael Beale have just told you who was playing left back? I'm just getting very different characters here in terms of openness when it comes to dealing with these types of questions. And neither is right nor wrong, by the way. I'm just talking about the contrast.
If he had a solution to it, potentially. But I agree with Kenny's last point. Now, I think they'll go to a back three. I genuinely do. I think they'll go to wing backs.
Who plays left wing back in that scenario?
I think you could see Scott Wright doing it. I think you could see him going.
I think you could see maybe a more winger type player playing there. Right. It might seem attacking, but you've always got that extra defender. Again, Ben Davies is left sided. Again, that's if Ben Davies plays. He could shift across there. I would think if John Souter's on the other side, he would be quite comfortable moving out into those areas as well. But James Tavernier would be your right wing back. So it'll be interesting to see, because there is a question mark there. And I think, again, like Philippe Clement said there, whether Ben Davies plays left back or whether a Scott Wright or a Sima or someone plays like a left wing back, but more in a, obviously it's an attacking player that's playing there. Somebody's going to be out of position. Somebody's going to be in a real foreign position. And I think for Ben Davies, the kind of tough side, it would be maybe getting in support and offering an attacking threat. The flip side is going to be for Scott Wright or Sima or whoever else could play in there, is when you're defending, maybe dropping back in to be beside your back three, three centre back. So there's question marks there. But I think if you go a back three away from home in Europe, by the way, it's not a bad ploy. You know, I mean, you've seen Rangers on the way to Europa League final dipping into it in game. I don't think they ever started it, but it was John Lundstrom would just be dropping back and it would be kind of they would find themselves in that. But again, that being said, that's with Borna Barisic still there. It was still with James Tavernier there. There is going to be a question on this left side of the Rangers pitch, whether it be a centre back playing left back or whether it's be a more attacking player getting asked to play as a wing back.
What do you think, Rangers fans? We've offered three solutions, I think, then. Adam Devine at left back, Ben Davies at left back, or a change in system with Scott Wright / Abdallah Sima playing left wing back. Do any of them tickle your fancy? Pick one, or if you want to come up with another solution we've not thought of, do that right now. So quite simply, who plays in that left side for you Rangers fans tomorrow? Gabriel, it's been a whirlwind start really for Philippe Clement. Obviously appointed, getting to know his staff and his players, straight into league action against Hibs, and then, you know, no real time to pause before going into European competition. How does he feel about the challenge in general?
Yeah, as you said there, Gordon, it's been so intense since he's coming, but he did make that impressive start. 4-0 win over Hibs could hardly have gone better. He's clearly changed the mood around the place. But he was honest when he spoke to us earlier. He said that his team must improve if they are to get something from the game tomorrow. That's just due to the calibre of the opposition they're playing. Sparta, top of the Czech league. They've got the same amount of points as Rangers. Everyone tied on 3 points. So the Belgian believes a positive result could be crucial if they get something here. How pivotal could that be come game 6 in December? But he was in a calm and assertive mood once again, but he is confident they can get something ahead of tomorrow.
Evenings that I like, that I love, all the vibe around European games, also coming in different places, different stadiums. I had also really good feeling today when I came on the pitch. I just said it to Todd. I didn't remember, but when I came in the stadium, I recognized the stadium because more than 20 years ago, we qualified here with Belgium for World Cup 2002. So those things give something special on evenings like that. I always come, and I see also this mentality with the players. We always come, home games, away games, doesn't matter. We play to win. So that's what we're going to try to do. But we know if we can do this here, you make a really important step in this group.
Yeah, I mean, it has been that. It's been a quick start, hasn't it, Kenny? But that's just the reality. You've got to see that, I suppose, as a good thing. We know that it's difficult in the league at the moment, but Rangers are stick-on favourites to win a trophy soon under Philippe Clement. That brings its own pressure, for sure, but still, you'd rather be in it. And then this group, as Gabriel says, every team's there on 3 points. We're talking about what Celtic would take. The reality is, Rangers can probably go draw tonight, don't give anything away, come back, take care of your home games, and still be in perfectly suitable position to progress from this group.
Yeah, and again, I think if you look at the way the fixtures have fell for Rangers, this is it's a good double header to have, particularly the way the group's worked out. And like you say, if Rangers can come away with 4 points out of this double header with Sparta Prague, so I would assume a point would be a decent enough away point. That being said, I think Rangers can win the game. But there does need to be big improvements on the performance, even for the weekend, even for that 4-0, because that was aided by a really, really poor Hibs performance at the weekend. So if they could get a point and then they get them back to Ibrox in a couple of weeks and get 3 points here, it would put them in a really strong position within the group going into that last couple of games. So it's a big game tomorrow, because if you think of what happened in Arras a couple of weeks back, that was really, really poor, you know, against the weakest team in the group. You've lost, and you lost pretty comfortably, to be honest with you. In relation, I know the scoreline wasn't, but in terms of the performance, it was. Sparta Prague are going to be a far tougher task than that.
Two ex-Hibs players on the panel tonight. People never tell me this show's a pro-Hibs, though. They never say there's a pro-Hibs bias on. It's funny that. With that in mind, how different is the tactical challenge going to be? Gabriel said there, you know, it couldn't have gone much better on Saturday. I get what he means in terms of points, goals, clean sheet. At the same time, there have been a lot said about Hibs maybe making it a bit easier for Rangers than they could have done. That's not to take anything away from Rangers, but you know, you heard the word naivety used quite a lot at the Hibs setup. So this will be different, you'd imagine.
Yeah, it'll be a different game, definitely. But just touching on the Hibs one, I think you have to give Rangers more credit. I think they blew Hibs away. You know, I know Hibs were playing a 4-4-2, and listen, if Nick Montgomery had gone there and got a point, people would have said it was genius. You know, Rangers performed extremely well, and Hibs couldn't get anywhere near them. But as Kenny said in yourself, it's going to be a much more difficult task tomorrow. I think, you know, in this game, again, we're speaking about the Celtic playing tonight. I think Rangers tomorrow, if they can get a point away from home, they'll take that. And then, you know, listen, take care of your business at Ibrox. We've seen how much it was rocking in European competition before for them. I think it's difficult for any team to go there and really beat Rangers. So I think they take care of your home games and get a point tomorrow away from home. I think that would be fantastic for them, and, you know, should be enough to send them through as well.
What's the main talking point to come out of the home side's press conference, Gabriel?
Well, there was plenty that the impressive Brian Priska spoke about. He spoke highly of his opposite number, good friends with Clement. They played together 15 years ago at Bruges. But the most interesting and certainly the most important point was on racism, which is an issue that here in the Czech Republic they have had, especially at football matches over the past decade. He had a passionate plea to supporters of the Czech club. The backstory, for those who don't know, of course, the former Rangers midfielder Glenn Kamara was racially abused by Andre Kudela of Slavia Prague at Ibrox. That was under Steven Gerrard 2.5 years ago. Kudela was banned for 10 UEFA matches. It led to a diplomatic fallout. 6 months later, Rangers were here at the Ipet Arena playing Sparta, and Kamara was booed when he was on the ball, despite the fact that the stadium was only filled with children. Sparta themselves were serving a ban for racism. Local school kids were in, and that was the last time Rangers played here in the Czech Republic. But as I said, Prisco wants to start a new chapter and show that racism has no place in the game.
We know here at Letna we got some amazing fans over the many last months. I've been doing amazingly, so I can only encourage them to go all in like they normally do, cheering for us, cheering for our boys, lifting our team, and we as a club, and also clubs, because it's also, I know, a lot of fans from Rangers coming here, to create an amazing atmosphere that we all can be proud of, not just here in the country, but just in general, send the signal that we're pro football, and racism whatsoever, it doesn't belong to football in any aspect whatsoever. And I think that's definitely something that we would like to encourage our fans to send a signal, a strong signal to everybody who's watching this game.
I mean, Marvin, as Gabriel quite correctly outlined there, that was a real sorry scenario that on a number of levels. It's two separate opponents from Prague, yeah, and it almost caused people to get them mixed up. It sort of spread across when Rangers played both, and I mean, listen, I have no other words to describe it. It goes without saying. Mm-hmm. That's an understatement. We hope nothing of that note tonight, and you can hopefully lessons have been learned a bit from the past.
Yeah, you hope so. And it's very difficult, as you said, for football clubs, because, you know, there's always silly fans that follow all football clubs, and it's very, very difficult to tar all fans with the same brush. In terms of the stadium ban that we're talking about and only school children being in there, they're accompanied by adults. So, you know, let's not say that it was the children that were doing these things. There were adults within the stadium, you know, which makes, you know, a farce really of having a band, stadium band, and it's still filled with people. I didn't really make much sense of that at the time. But listen, hopefully lessons have been learned. Hopefully nothing like that is repeated again tomorrow or again in any football stadium. But, you know, I won't hold my breath when it comes to that, because, you know, we've seen it happen so often in football. So listen, let's hopefully, we're talking about the game and the Rangers winning that game of football tomorrow rather than anything else. But as I said, you know, if the club are trying to do the right thing and go in the right direction, that's all you can ask, really.
Thank you to Gabriel out in Prague, setting the scene very well ahead of that one. You Rangers fans, come on then, who is going to play left back? Is it going to be a change of shape? Is it going to be like for like? Give us a name, give us a solution. Philippe Clement may need your help. That's the way to think of it. Get your suggestions in, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Kenny Miller are here. I told you this show was pro Hibs. Could be pro Livingston as well. You both been there on the management staff as well.
I was there a bit longer than Kenny though.
Yeah. That would be hard. I've been there longer than Kenny, for goodness sake. But with that Hibs connection in mind, got a good teaser for you tonight. I'm thinking this is going to lean a bit more into Kenny Miller territory, but it should be a good team effort. Can you name the last 10 players to be sent off in a Rangers-Hibs league game? I'm not sure why Stephen's given me the question. He says between 2010 and 2019, so I don't know if there are any after that that he's deliberately left out. But there we go, 10 players to be sent off Rangers-Hibs league game between 2010 and 2019.
What else?
No. What? I know, but a good bet usually, but no.
Ryan Porteous?
Yes. Yep.
He's on the list. No, Morelos on the wheel.
Oh.
He did get sent off last
thing
year.
Got sent off as well. Lundstrom.
That was last year, though.
Why is he only going up to 2019? It's a bit of a bizarre cut off, I must say. But anyway. Maybe it suits the time frame of you two a bit better.
Kyle Laffey?
Yes. I'll tell you what, I'll add in the recent ones, right? And we'll see if there are any more. So you can have Lindstrom, that's fine. Okay.
Well, his was rescinded, but Morelos got sent off in that same game.
Right, you're getting them all then, okay.
Yeah. Between what, sorry, 2010 and 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Toiling now then. So there's 12 now then, yeah?
Oh, who knows? It seems like an infinite number at the moment.
It was 10, but you've added in Morelos and Lundstrom.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. 3-0 Feyenoord just now, by the way. So what a performance they're putting on in this group.
Incredible. You know, that's a strong, strong result. I mean, Lazio obviously are you would put that as quite a 50-50 game, I would say. But to go and win 3-0, it's just going to cement their place at the top of that group. Again, it makes things like really, really tough for Celtic when you look at how this group's shaping up. Again, going back to it, with this double header coming up in the middle against this top level opposition, it's going to be a tough couple of weeks for Celtic, where they're going to need to get something to stay alive in this group.
With Feyenoord obviously winning 3-0 now, and obviously we saw the Celtic game there with Celtic getting two players sent off, maybe Celtic performed better than we thought, you know. Because I'll be honest, we're speaking kind of off air about kind of that game, and Celtic were well within the game until the sending offs. You know, now you've seen what they're doing at home. You know, 3-0 in that game tonight for Feyenoord is absolutely fantastic. So, listen, maybe Celtic have got a better chance. Ever the optimist, me.
Yeah, it's funny because like the results show you that, and the standing show you Feyenoord are decent. I just think people reference Kenny, they just feel like when they watched the game, they didn't look brilliant. That's all people mean when Celtic played them.
And that's why you can draw a bit of positivity going into the next game. Yes, it could be a freak game. You know, we're not watching the game. It could be a 50-50 game that Feyenoord have just been ruthless with chances, or there's maybe been a mistake that's led to a goal. You just don't know. But it's a really, I mean, just Marv saying take care of your home games. Well, that's them going to have went a 2-0 against Celtic. They're now 3-0 against Lazio. I mean, they're going to be a long way to actually call 3-1 actually now. That's a good one to come back.
What a game it is.
83 minutes.
It's on.
they're well on their way now to potentially qualifying out of this group, which again, even for them, when you look at it, when you've got Atletico Madrid and Lazio and Celtic, it's a tough group. But it's going to be 7 points out of the opening three games, or is it maximum points?
Who, Lazio?
No, Feyenoord.
No, they drew, didn't they?
So it'll be 7 points out of the first nine.
Yeah, that's a great first three
games. It's excellent. Again, they've dealt with their home games. You know, in this competition, any European competition, if you can take care of your home games, you're not going to be far away for qualification. So they're well on their way.
Absolutely. Right. Okay. We've got 01419511025. Look at this guy.
He's distracted me massively.
That just put me right off there. Oh, I need to get a picture of this.
Is that a light blue jacket or is it light grey?
I'm not sure what that is.
What are they describing that as? They've trusted Mark Wilson into the studio on Sky Sports News to talk his way through, I guess, Celtic Atletico Madrid tonight. That's a very sort of 90s boy band jacket he's gone for.
I'm liking the hair as well, though. He's really made a massive effort.
Trimmed up for that.
Got the Brill Cream out.
You could tell that shocked me there. Anyone who's watching the live stream will have seen me totally lose my train of thought.
I was more worried that you're squinting going at the screen. We need to get your eyes checked.
My contact lens is in as well.
No.
I was just trying to make sure, I could take it all in, the jacket, the jumper, the hair.
Didn't know if it was Mark or Hugh.
There he is again.
Look, he's had a haircut today as well, by the way.
Yeah, he has, see?
Think he's had a haircut?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. He's got the gel in there as well.
Look at him in all his glory. Unbelievable. Anyway, enough about him. We'll speak about him tomorrow. To be fair, he's back with his partner in crime, Gordon DL, tomorrow, who usually it's bath night on a Wednesday, he always says. Oh. So I think he's lying in the bath.
Listening
to us, watching him on the TV. Yeah. It's like we're all in there with him.
Oh, no.
He could have the iPad, the one, he could have the computer, the other, he's watching everything.
Oh, no.
I heard about his computer yesterday.
You not heard about this?
No.
We know what he's like. I'm going to bring this
he's
up.
He's not dropped it in the bath,
I'm going to bring this up every night till we get to the bottom of it. He's rocked up at the office yesterday with a laptop and asked someone in here if they could wipe the hard drive for
hello.
Right?
Okay.
It then transpires that he won't say where he's got this laptop from. It doesn't even have a UK plug socket. It's got a European plug socket. And when you go to log in, it's like some other name. It's not his name. but he knows the password for it.
Has he found it in an airport or something?
Who knows? Genuinely, who knows? But anyway, right. Back to football. Anyone? 01419511025. I'll tell you what. I'll clean up the question for you. Right, it's my fault. I made a bit of a pig's ear of that because I didn't.
Are we starting again?
No, not so much. I just didn't realise the time frame. I didn't realise Stephen had nipped it at 2019. So I'll just reword it for you. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's same. Can you name the last 10 players to be sent off in a Rangers against Hibs league game, right? But what that means is, forget Lafferty, because he's not in the last 10. If we're adding on your Morelos and Lundstrom, you've got three. You've got Morelos, Lundstrom and Porteous, okay?
Okay. Right.
Oh, right. Outside that, we'd had
that
one.
That makes sense.
I'm still talking here. John Jones?
Nope. All right, listen, I'll give you some thinking time. We don't need to do it. Let's just go and check in once more with Andrew McLean if we can. Can we do that? Is he there? Has he nipped away for a pie?
Yes,
he's there.
Yeah, no, all good.
I take it it's a bit early, but it'll be filling up now, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's filling up, and you know, there's always talk of that European atmosphere at Celtic Park on these big, big nights, especially when it is such a big team coming to town as well. So Celtic will be hoping that they can try and use that tonight. But as I told you earlier on, despite, you know, the talk of, and it's not just Celtic fans that talk about it, you hear, you know, top players from around Europe that have played here and said that it's the best atmosphere or one of the best atmosphere that they've ever played in, that it's not really translated into results. You know, 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago to the day, was their last Champions League group stage victory at Celtic Park, 22nd of October 2013, that 2-1 win over Ajax. A lot has changed since then. One thing hasn't: James Forrest still in the Celtic squad. He played that night, he scored that night as well. He won't be featuring tonight, certainly from the start. He will be on the bench. But the Celtic fans will be looking for just something maybe a bit different tonight, because it has been the same old story really for Celtic over the last, you know, year and a bit in these Champions League group stages, where they've had promising spells, they've played some good football at times, but ultimately something has gone wrong and they've left with nothing. So can they do something against this Atletico Madrid side? And it'll be interesting to see how they set up, certainly, because despite the fact that they are a top European side, they're maybe not a side that are set up to dominate the ball and to run over the top of teams. They're quite happy to sit in, absorb a bit of pressure, because they trust themselves to defend their box very well. Celtic might hope that they can cause some problems. They're used to trying to break through a low block in domestic matches, so they'll be trying to do that tonight. However, if you make any mistakes, you get punished at this level, and you especially get punished when there are players like Antoine Griezmann and Alvaro Morata on the pitch. They are players that if you give them half a chance, they will take it. Celtic know that you get punished at this level. They've seen it in the last couple of matches, so they'll be hoping that it will need to be a good performance. I think Greg Taylor said yesterday that it essentially needs to be a near-perfect performance for them to get anything from this game tonight. And Brendan Rodgers, of course, saying that they need to get something if they want to have European football after Christmas.
Keep the calls coming on that one. We've got a tweet there. I think we got mixed up. Matondo saying that, of course, Feyenoord lost to Atletico, so they're on 6 points. But I must admit, I feel like we've just got any good excuse, because Mark Wilson appearing on that TV wearing that jacket was just very off-putting, has to be said. So there we go. Whether it is Celtic, whether it's Rangers, whether it's something else entirely. Big night tomorrow for Aberdeen as well. I think that there's the added challenge for these clubs. It always seems, of course, you're trying to succeed in Europe, but it does feel like it has a particular knock-on effect for them sometimes when they go back domestically as well.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's a massive test of the squad, really, and the players, not only physically but mentally as well. I said to you, I was speaking to Nicky Devlin earlier on today. Obviously, he's at Aberdeen now. I think it's really, really hard to get used to. You know, Celtic and Rangers are used to, you know, being in Europe, playing midweek and then playing at the weekends. But for clubs outside of that, I think it's extremely tough. Even being in the qualifiers when we were at Hibs, when you got to the Sunday, you're exhausted, especially if you had to travel. Especially if you were playing in a game where, you know, you weren't really dominating the ball and you're chasing it around for large periods. So it is hard. We saw it with Hearts before, and unfortunately it ended in Robbie Nielsen kind of losing his job. But, you know, hopefully Aberdeen can, you know, come through Thursday and get a victory and then kick on in the league also. So, yeah, you always want to see Scottish teams doing well, but it is definitely difficult, Gordon, in answer to your question.
Geoffrey is on the line. As a Rangers fan, Geoffrey, who would you play at left back tomorrow? How'd you replace Barisic?
Well, you've got two players that I can think of, Wright and Davis, to play in that position. Because they've played in that position before. But there's another couple of points I want to make as well. It's going to be very hard for Rangers. Although we had a good result the weekend, and I'm hoping that we push on from that. Can I make another point to you?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, we are a bit tight for time. I must admit, I should have tried to squeeze this call in closer to the break. I'll have the producer chapping down the door in a second. We can maybe do it another time if we do run out of time. I do want to get get the guy's thoughts on Jeffrey's two suggestions there on left back, because that certainly is the big debate for Rangers fans tonight. The names that were mentioned, what would you do? Let's two separate things. What would you do, and what do you think Philippe Clement will do if it's different?
Listen, I think the two suggestions were ones we've already talked about tonight. Ben Davies is an obvious one to play that. If it's left back, I would play Ben Davies. If it's left back, I wouldn't play an attacking player as a fullback. I'd play Ben Davies. And it might be different for him, but again, needs must at this moment in time. The Rangers found themselves in a really awkward situation that there's three left backs or three guys that could potentially play left back are not available. So I would play Ben Davies. What I would do is I would play a back three. I would put Ben Davies inside beside Conor Goldson and John Souter. Again, it's something that I maybe felt they maybe could have done this against PSV when they had went away, because Michael Beale had talked a lot about playing a back three towards or alluding to the fact that he might go to a back three. I thought that could have been a game you could have done. And an away game in Europe, it's not a bad plot.
Who then? Who's the wing back?
Then I think, again, if you're looking through the rest of the team, I think Todd Cantwell's got to play. Again, he came on and he was for me, the way he attacks and the way he plays and the way he passes and moves, I think he brings so much to the Rangers team. So I think he needs to play tomorrow. I think Dessers will probably play, but Seema has to play because he's scoring all the goals. So for me, I think we'll go back to it. I think it would be Scotty Wright or Seema would play as that kind of left wing back position.
And I'm going with Scott Wright as left wing back. I think it's easier for him to play left wing back than it is for Davis to go left back in a back four. As crazy as that sounds,
how do you fit the rest in? Then, as Kenny says,
Seema then has to play through the middle. Cantwell has to play in the number 10 if you're going to do that. And then obviously have two holding midfielders alongside it, and then partner Seema with another striker. I think Seema at left wing back would be a massive ask. I don't think he'll be at all comfortable. I don't think Scott Wright would be totally comfortable with it, but I think he'd be able to adapt more to playing left wing back than Seema would be able to.
Right. But Seema will play, you know, but Seema's got to play. Yeah. So whether he plays in that role or whether he goes maybe up front with Adessers or if Danilo could come into the team, who knows? Seema's got to play because he's on an incredible run. He's scoring goals at this moment.
Right, good time to get your call in. Still chance. We're building up to kick off at Celtic Park coming in the not too distant future. We'll speak to you after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can call, you can tweet, you can head over to my Instagram story and vote as to whether you like Mark Wilson's TV outfit or not. All the pressing issues are covered here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We tidied up the full-time teaser for you, but I made it a bit of a clumsy effort at the start. We're looking quite simply for the last 10 players to be sent off in a Rangers-Hibs league match. You've got Morelos, Lundstrom and Porteous so far. Anything else that jumps out for you?
Ryan Jack?
Yes.
Andy Halliday?
Yes, our very own. Not like him. Okay.
Almost a bystander in this one tonight.
There's got to be a few Hibs guys that you may
be. None in your time, though, no, former Hibs.
Well, I was thinking Fraser Fivey.
No. There is. I mean, there's one or two that you would have played alongside here. Not loads, I must say.
Yeah.
And then one probably from just before your time. The furthest back, after we tidied it up, is. I nearly said his name there. 2012. Oh, so no. Who would be the likely candidates in that Hibs team? That would be around about the time of the famous cup win.
Long time before me.
That cup defeat, sorry, I should say.
No. Darren McGregor, no?
Yes, well done. Played for both, actually. So yep. There we go, Darren McGregor. That was one of the ones I thought you would have played with, Marvin.
But yeah, I did. So let Kenny get that one. Get his confidence up for it.
Exactly.
I've got my half by the way.
You got more than half.
Right, okay, we'll get back to it. We can do them before the end of the show. Certainly, we... Is it still... What's the score? Is it
must be a
big one
now. That's all full time.
Yeah, full time. So it's one of those managers and players and so on will tell you always just focus on themselves. But in a Champions League group, you simply have to look at the other results. So what does that one do?
Listen, I think Celtic have to go out and still do what they were planning to do before the final game kicked off. And that's get, first and foremost, a positive performance. They need to get a point out of tonight's game. I think, you know, Brendan will be well aware of that, and he'd made his players aware of that. So, listen, they'll be stepping out onto that pitch come 8 o'clock, you know, with everything in mind to let's get a positive performance. But, you know, let's make sure we get at least a point out of this game. If they can get 3, then, listen, absolutely fantastic. But one thing I will say, you know, that the atmospheres that you get in Scotland and, you know, the fans being the 12th man, you know, Celtic Park will be absolutely rocking tonight, and they'll look for any sort of positive that performance that they can get from those players. So, listen, if it's going to happen, you know, Celtic have got a good chance of it happening with the fans behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I think with this result now, when you look at Feyenoord sitting with 6, you've got Atletico Madrid there, Lazio obviously with the 3 points that they've got against Celtic. You just have to try and stay in touch. You know, you need to try and stay that one game, so when you play Lazio, that you're still going to, because again, it's shaping up like it's going to be like an Atletico Madrid, and it's going to be Feyenoord to have put yourself in a really strong position, that you're just on the coattails. If you can get the right result against Lazio, that you maybe jump them, you know, or at least are staying in touch, that you take it to that last game of the group against Feyenoord at home. So it's... Or the second last, I don't know what, if it's Lazio or Feyenoord, the way the two last games play. But you need to be in touch. You need to stay in touch with Lazio. So if you can get a point tonight, which by the way, I'm still going to say it's going to be a big ask against a very, very strong Atletico Madrid team. But you need to just try and stay in it, because you want to, like you say, you want to finish in that third position at the very, very least to get a European football after Christmas. To do that, they're going to need to get something tonight.
Yeah, and... this is maybe more of a question for tomorrow night, but we're nearly at the end. You know, just depending on how this one goes, Marvin, on one hand, you can't keep harking back to it, but I think there'll be a fear amongst the Celtic fans that those first two defeats were so damaging, because we're looking through the strength of that Atletico Madrid team. You can probably forgive Celtic for being unable to beat them over these two games, but not when it's combined then with the two defeats, because that is going to lead to fourth place in the group then ultimately.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Celtic fans will be speaking about those two games up until 8 o'clock today. I genuinely do, because, you know, there were two games that they were well in, and, you know, then they obviously made the mistakes that they did, and obviously in the Lazio game they conceded ever so late after having their own goal kind of disallowed. So you can't help but look back at those, Gordon. Like you said, Atletico Madrid, the league was kind of drawn, you looked at that and you thought Atletico Madrid, right, they'll be at the top of it, let's put them to one side. But now you're in a position where you've lost the first two games and you need to get something out of this game. It's the last game that you'd have wanted to, you know, be attempting to get a draw or a win out of. Like Kenny said, it was the last team that you wanted to have a double header against at this moment in time. But they are where they are, they can do it. Listen, they don't have the best record in the Champions League. We've already spoken about how long it's been, but records are there to be broken. So why can't it be tonight? And that has to be what the Celtic players are thinking and the fans as well.
Well, let's try and just finish the teaser so we can end by spending a bit of time at Celtic Park. We're looking for the last 10 players to be sent off in a Rangers-Hibs league game. Darren McGregor, Andy Halliday, Ryan Jack, Alfredo Morelos, John Lundstrom and Ryan Porteous.
Did I play with any more of them that you can see?
Probably.
Is Liam Fontaine on there?
No, it's a really difficult one. It was August 2019. I think he's that young player that came through at Hibs. I don't think he's there anymore. No, he's not.
August 2019.
Yeah, it's a tough one, that, actually. But I remember it was. I think it was one of the... It was very... Well, obviously because of August, but I was going to say it was early in the season. I just remember actually being there.
I think I'd been released by then.
Yeah, probably.
Got out of here. What about Stokes now?
No.
Dave Gray?
No. January 2012. What about that one? It's a...
It's in the low leagues of England at that point.
Defender. Well known. Gone on to management in Scotland for a couple of clubs.
Ian Murray?
No, but you're not a million miles off.
Manager. Hibs. Ex-Hibs, obviously, yeah.
Uh-huh. Ex-Livy, since you two are both Livy as well.
Goodness,
where did he go down south again? Coventry, was it?
Oh my goodness, I'm gone.
I don't know what else to tell you.
No. This is his name.
Let me see.
We're
going
to go down the initial route here.
Well, let's see what this guy's star sign is. Will we? His shoe size. He's currently he didn't play with either of you, but he's currently managing in the Championship.
Scott,
yeah, not too far from Ian Murray. So.
My God, oh, come on now. James McPake?
James, yeah.
McPake, oh my word.
That was painful.
Wow. There's another.
We still got there.
There we go. This is another.
Any chance, Marv? Seriously.
Another link. Former Rangers midfielder. You'll have played with him. He's now at Livy. Everything is
Jason
linking.
Yeah, Jason Holt. I forgot about him. I had him on my list.
I can't believe one of the ones you've missed, because if it's the incident I'm thinking of, it's one of the most ludicrous red cards we've seen. And it was in May 2019. He's a big pal of yours as well. I mean, genuinely, if you were to...
McGregor?
Yeah.
Alan McGregor?
Remember
McNulty,
was it?
He pushed somebody off.
He kicked him, but then like claimed he didn't, remember?
I remember it now.
I do remember. Yes.
We did see McGregor earlier.
Oh, did you?
I bet it was Dan McGregor.
Oh, right, okay. Another one. Yeah. Is that you, just one more to get?
Is that young player
I just put
about?
You out your misery. Sean Mackey.
I would have got that as well.
Right, let's go back to Celtic Park. Let's get a quick recap of the teams. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, the scarves are up here around Celtic Park. You'll never walk alone blasting through the Tannoy system. Maybe a different look as well to it, because despite the fact that Celtic put out a statement earlier on asking fans not to display any flags or banners relating to the current Israel-Palestine conflict, over to my right there's a big display of a Palestine flag, and all around the ground there are many Palestine flags. That of course will be an issue between the fans and the Celtic board, but Brendan Rodgers and his players will be focused on the task at hand, with Celtic with some catching up to do in the group. They are 4 points adrift. I'll give you that Celtic starting lineup. It's Joe Hart in goal, the back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate and Matt O'Reilly, Dyson Maida and Luis Palma either side of Kyogo. And some of the big names in that Atletico Madrid team, Jan Oblak is in there, Rodrigo De Paul, Koke in that front two of Antoine Griezmann and Alvaro Morata, that Celtic will be hoping to keep quiet. A loud, loud atmosphere inside Celtic Park for this one. The fans cannot wait. A big team are coming to town. Can Celtic get the points they need to stay alive in Europe?
Sounds incredible as always on the big Champions League nights. Go on then, score predictions. I think you're both being a bit doom and gloom. I don't anticipate many Celtic win predictions.
I'll go 3-1 Atletico.
I was going to go 2-1.
Wow, there we go. Well, maybe these two will be surprised, and whatever happens tonight, we look back on it tomorrow, and Rangers play in Europe along with Aberdeen. So it is a huge night tomorrow. Make sure you join us. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL will be here from 6. It's 01419511025. Write it down. You can catch up on the podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, or watch the show back now, of course, on Twitter, YouTube or Facebook. Stay right there. In the meantime, Callum Gallagher is up next.